Our Bible reading today is in Hosea chapter 10. Hosea 10, and this may well be our very last message in this book, for some time anyhow. As we move into the month of December, I want to begin a complete new series on the life of the Lord Jesus. And I think this would be a good time of year to begin that, coming up to the Christmas season. And you have not brought forth righteousness as you ought. There is a message here to Christians. There's a message here for every brother and sister that calls on the Lord as your Savior, that there is a need for the plow. There is a need to break up the many parts and areas of your heart that are absolutely fruitless for the Lord. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to call in the plow today that every part of your life will be made fruitful for God? There is also a message here for any unconverted, unsaved person. Paint will not make you a Christian. You need the gospel plow to do its work. Covering up your sin will not make you a Christian. Carpeting over the filth and the dark, bitter past will not make you a Christian. You need to be willing to have the gospel plow go to work in your heart to make you ready for those gospel seeds, the truths of the mercy of the Lord. And really what this text is saying is you need to get serious with God about sin in your life. You need to get serious about it. Don't be painting it over. Get the plow. Break up the fallow ground. Sow to yourselves in righteousness until the Lord come. Until the Lord come and rain righteousness upon you. And so it really bespeaks that the Lord is at a distance. The Lord is departed. The Lord has gone afar off. And that certainly was true with Israel. God was so hurt, as Hosea was hurt by his treacherous wife, that heart that was bitterly grieved. And here is God lamenting and God mourning. And he's pleading with Israel, change your ways. Get the plow and break up that fallow ground and make it ready for change and ready for mercy. You must be serious about turning from your sin, because God will only extend mercy on the terms of righteousness. That's what this text is saying. It says, break up your fallow ground. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, then reap in mercy. And unless you are willing for the terms of righteousness, there can be no enjoyment of mercy. That's because of God's nature, His holiness. And this holiness is His glory, and God is not going to change. God is not going to change the standard. God is not going to rewrite the textbook of His own glory and His own attributes and His own deity and His own righteousness. God's holiness is brighter than the unspotted sun. And you are the one that needs to change, because God cannot look upon sin. And then, of course, the ongoing practice of sin is a continual grief to our holy God. I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, and I want to read 7 verses here. Now, I know that's a long reading in the midst of a point of a sermon, but I want you to notice what sin does to God. I want you to notice how God can only show mercy on the terms of righteousness. He says in Isaiah 65:1, I am sought of them that asked not for me. How good that is, isn't it? I'm sought of them that asked not for me. I hope that you're here today seeking the Lord, maybe even for the very first time. You are really serious about knowing God and knowing His blessing. How wonderful that is. And then the Lord said in this verse, I am found of them that sought me not. In other words, they have changed their attitudes, changed their ways. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. Now that's the ways of sin. That's the ways of the world. That's the way of materialism. It's the way of making money. It's the way of making a name for yourself. It's the way of becoming big and showy and important in this world. It's the way of promoting self. It's the way of getting ahead in the fast lane of life. And all of these is without a thought of God, your own thoughts. And then you'll notice what this does to God. Verse 3. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face. You see, if we're to know God and His mercy, it can only be on the terms of righteousness. These people, they provoke God to His face. Could that not be possible in your present walk and life? That your ways and walk, your words, your thoughts, you'll notice how God took note of their thoughts here at the end of verse 2, and they provoked the Lord continually to anger. Is it not a most serious thing to be so living that your life is a continual provocation in God's face? What an indictment on your lifestyle. What an indictment on your walk. What a grief to God. And it's not because God is a tyrant. It's because God is holy. He is unchangeably holy. He is pure holiness. And if you are to know fellowship and communion and blessing with God, there has to be in your life perfect righteousness. Absolute righteousness. And that's why we're called here to sow to yourselves in righteousness. And I could go down verse 7. Well, let's go on to verse 7. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Now you would say, I would never blaspheme God. I would never take the name of Jehovah or Elohim. I would never take God's name or the name of the Lord Jesus and actually use it as a swear word. You see, while you live without God, and while you live in your selfish, self-important way of departing from God, it's as if you're blaspheming Him. Your life is an open defiance of rebellion to God. And without righteousness, there is no way that you can know mercy. And so if you're saying, yes, I'm interested in seeking God and knowing God and knowing His favor, then you must also be serious about knowing righteousness. You must also be serious about knowing the very thing that pleases God and that honors God. Now the whole issue with Israel was their departure from God to pursue the wickedness of the heathen and the nations around them. That's what this book of Hosea is about. And I think we've spent enough weeks in this book to grasp that really is God's complaint here. That is His controversy. And now He comes with the remedy. Isn't it wonderful? God has a remedy. There was a remedy for Israel if they would use it. But they didn't. They didn't. There was a way back. God had terms by which they could be blessed. They would not agree to those terms. They would not sow to themselves in righteousness. And so they went away backwards. And while they were continuing without righteousness, continuing, following the ways of the ungodly, and their rebellion was blazing against God, there was no way God could bless them. There was no way that God could be merciful to them. It would be like America showing mercy to terrorists while those terrorists were bent upon destroying the population of America. It would be absolute madness for any nation to make terms of peace with a foreign nation seeking to destroy them only to even abet them in doing it. And likewise, when God was dealing with Israel, there's only one term. Seek righteousness. Turn away from those rebellious attitudes. Give yourself up to grace and mercy, and you'll have mercy. But Israel would have none of it. And of course, this is exactly what you need today. And if your motive and intention is to pursue the world and to follow the ways of the world and to go on unchanged, unstopped in the madness of a rebellious attitude, enjoying a world that is at enmity with God, there can be no mercy. There can be no remedy. You cannot be the friend of God and the friend of the world at one time. You cannot serve God and mammon, as the Lord Jesus said. Now, I think we need to take this text to heart today. And we need to be willing to get the plow out and say, Lord, take that plow and break up the fallow ground in my heart. But if you're saying, no. Put the shingle out that I am the Lord, I'm a Christian. Put up a nice picket fence, but please don't bring in the plow. Don't break up the fallow ground. Don't disturb the roots that are feeding the briars and the thorns. Don't change the natural process of things in my life. I don't want to change deep down. I only want to be a Christian along the roadside as people pass by and watch me. And all the while, the fruit of your life is an offense and a grief to God. If you're not willing for the plow, you're not willing to change, if you're not willing to have your sin dealt with in every shape and form, then you're not willing for the cross, and you're not willing to have Christ as your Savior, and there is no remedy. And so this text speaks to you today to get serious. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Seek mercy. Break up your fallow ground. What is that precious weed? What is that particular root that you don't want disturbed in your life? That you don't want the plow to come along and rip up? What is it? There's the thing that's between you and God. It has become an idol, an offense, and it makes you a stranger to God and a foreigner to mercy. You need to get serious about the plow of gospel grace in your heart, because God has a remedy here. And let's look at that. You must be serious about turning from your sin, because dealing with sin is your responsibility. It says here, break up your fallow ground. It's your fallow ground. It's your heart. It's your sin. These are your weeds. These are the productions of your own natural depraved heart. Now, this is a farming term, and fallow ground is useless, and it only becomes more and more useless and producing more and more of what is offensive if left to itself. This book of Hosea is remarkably very much about repentance. I counted 15 times the word return appears in this book. 15 times in this short little book, you have the word return to the Lord. And that's really God's definition of repentance. Return means to leave, forsake, give up, abandon, and come back, as the prodigal did to his earthly father, as he sought for mercy and for help. And as we read there in Hosea chapter 14, what pleas God gave, O Israel, return unto the Lord. This is the heart of God pleading with these people. And you know, the Lord Jesus had the same priority in His ministry. He preached, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Don't leave that part out. Seek ye the Lord and His righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. If you want to know how to be saved, if you want to know how to be blessed, if you want to know how to go on with God, here's the answer. Your responsibility is to break up that very fallow ground. Now, this is what our Lord Jesus preached, of course, is very much related to the spirit of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were interested in the kingdom, and they were interested in so many things about religion. But when it came to righteousness, their kind of righteousness was standing in the street corner with long faces, making long prayers, the outward show and pretense. But they weren't willing to deal with the deep sins of their heart, and the Lord Jesus had to talk to them on the terms of those whited sepulchres. They appeared nice on the outside, but inside they were filled with dead men's bones and corruption and stench. You see, breaking up the fallow ground is your responsibility. When John the Baptist came preaching, he preached the message of repentance. Likewise, Peter on the day of Pentecost, repentance. And if I'm going to be a biblical preacher and a gospel preacher in the shoes of my Lord, then I have to say to you, repent, turn, return unto the Lord, which is to acknowledge that you've turned away, which is to acknowledge that you've departed. You're in debt to sin, and it's your personal guilt. There's no one else in the world responsible for your sin. There's no one else that's going to give account for the things that you've done and the things that you've said. There's no one else that's going to have to stand and give answer for your conduct and behavior or your wicked ways. And these are all recorded by God, and they will be brought to light on the judgment day, and you are going to be fully responsible. And as Jesus taught, every idle word you will give account, and every thought you will give account. And your conscience also tells you that it's your responsibility. When sin is talked about, that arrow of conscience goes to work and says, oh yes, you've done that. You've been there. You've said those things. You've been party to those wicked things. Conscience tells you. That preacher of your heart tells you that it's your responsibility. And now here comes the Lord's word saying that you need to break up your fallow ground. You see, until you realize this, you'll never seek the Lord Jesus. No one sends for a doctor until he's sick. And no one sends for a tow truck to get the car into the repair shop until you admit that there's a serious oil leak and things are not going well with this vehicle. But if you're living in the hope that, well, it'll get me a little further, may not be the greatest little vehicle in the world, but it'll still get me from A to B one way or another. I may have to, you know, jump start it here and there and give it a little bit of tweaking, but it'll get me there. And if you're saying that about yourself, if you're saying that about your own heart and your own condition, and you're saying, well, I realize I'm not perfect, and I know I haven't done everything the way I should have done, but just with a little bit of assistance here and there, I will be a better person. What you're doing is denying that the fallow ground needs to be broken up. You're not willing to have the plow to break up that fallow ground. You have no thought of the Lord Jesus, no thought of seeking the Lord, because you can think you can get along just fine. Now, thirdly, you need to be serious about turning from your sin, because the time of God's mercy is your time to seek Him. There's a time involved here. Let's look at the text again. For it is time to seek the Lord till He come. It is time. Let's look at this negatively. And if you look at verse 13 and verse 14, it's time because ye have plowed wickedness. Ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies. Because thou didst trust in thy way and the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shall the tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled. It's time because you're headed for great trouble. It's time because the seeds of sin that you have sown are soon going to bear their fruit of a harvest of iniquity. It's time. Yes, the law of the harvest has been true in your life. Just as in the land and in the garden, what you sow to the flesh, you will reap of the flesh. What you plant in the garden, you're going to reap it. Every seed is true to its kind. And if you've been living for the world and sin, then the harvest will be according to its kind. Now, as I think of this fallow ground that needs to be broken up, I can only think of a hardened heart. The great result of resisting the plow of God's grace in the Lord's gospel is that you are left with a hardened heart. As a boy that comes from a farm, and my father used to do considerable plowing, and I tried a bit of it myself, but I could never keep those rows straight enough that my dad would make me the major tractor operator and plowboy. So I did a little bit with certain restrictions, and when they got a little bit crooked, well, that was it over for the day. But I always marveled that every year, even you were growing the same crop in the same field, it had to be plowed every year. Now, you would imagine, once you get that soil turned over, and then the cultivator went to work, and the rocks were taken out, and you've got 6 to 8 inches of good, soft soil, now that's it, set up forever. But the law of nature means that everything just settles down. And of course, machinery going over it, or livestock going over it, it just gets packed and compact down tight. And next year, it's as hard as ever. And it needs to be re-plowed again. Fallow ground left to itself becomes hardened. And that's the great danger with your heart. And you may have resisted the work of God's grace and the gospel, and you've said, there is yet time, there is a way back for me, but fallow ground becomes very, very hardened. And I think of Pharaoh. It tells us about Pharaoh's heart. God hardened his heart. But what did God do to harden Pharaoh's heart? He just left it. He just left Pharaoh to himself. God didn't need to tell Pharaoh to rebel and become wicked. God just left him to his natural proud ways. And let me tell you, your natural pride of heart, your own depraved sinful nature, will harden your own heart without any outside intervention. You, left to yourself, will become hardened. And that applies to the Christian, and it applies to the unconverted person here today. Without the continual operation of the gospel of God's grace in the believer's heart, you will become hardened. If you leave off prayer for a week or a month, how hard it is to pray again. If you leave off that close communion and fellowship with God, how difficult it is to get back into that fellowship again. It takes the plowing. It takes the workings of the Spirit to bring you back into the bonds of fellowship. And so it's right for the Christian to regularly pray, Lord, plow my heart again. Come with the work of your Spirit and take out those roots of sin and break up the fallow ground in me and make me a praying Christian again. Because left to myself, my heart will only become hardened. There's another Bible character. You'll find him in 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 11. 2 Chronicles chapter 36 verse 11. This is Zedekiah. He was 21 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. Now here is the last king of Judah living in Jerusalem. And it says in verse 12 that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. I wonder, are you in danger of committing the very thing that Zedekiah did, of stiffening your neck and hardening your heart to the point that your heart becomes so compacted by natural sin that the gospel has no more an entrance into it? Left to yourself, you will have a hardened heart. And that's the danger if you do not seek the Lord today, because it is time. The Lord says it is time. And while you are sensitive to the Spirit's voice, while you hear His voice, while the Lord is striving with you and troubling about your sin, and the Lord has not left you altogether to your own hardened ways, and you feel a sense of conviction in your soul, it is time to seek the Lord, lest you do have a hardened heart. Because God has warned that His Spirit will not always strive with man, and you may be left in a hardened condition to go through all of your life. And you say, but I'll get converted when I'm an older person. I'll call on the Lord before I die. Never trust in a deathbed conversion. Don't put much stock on deathbed conversions. I don't doubt they're possible. The dying thief on the cross is like a deathbed conversion. You can be saved without works whatsoever. But all those people that put off salvation, trusting that when I come to the very end of life and I've sown to the sin of this world and the rebellious ways of this world, then I'm going to reap righteousness. Don't fool yourself. Don't think that you can live out all your days sowing wickedness and be sure of a conversion at the 11th hour. It most likely will not happen. You're playing with your soul if you're even thinking on a plan like that. But positively, it means that there is yet time. There is time. God is calling. Hosea was God's messenger of mercy. And while God's prophet was given to these people, the foreign army had not come. The king was not yet cut off, as God warned would happen, as we read at the end of this chapter 10. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. But now Hosea was pleading and saying, it is time to seek the Lord. And so there was mercy to be had. There is no other time to receive the promise of God than now. You are never going to be more sure of an acceptance with God than right now. And the only time you have to enjoy God's mercy that you can be absolutely sure of is right now. Now is the accepted time, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:2. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. God's now means mercy. It is time for you to seek the Lord, to be willing for the plow to break up that fallow ground and for you to turn to Him with all your heart. And I would plead with you today, as Hosea pleaded with this people, as he wrote this message, this prophecy to the people, I would plead with you today, it's time to seek the Lord because you've sinned enough. How old are you now? How many years have you sinned against the Lord? How many weeds have you scattered that are about to bear fruit? Have you not sinned enough? It's time, because today God's mercy is held out to you. Right now as we speak, if you seek mercy, you will reap mercy. That's the promise of this text. If you seek mercy, you'll reap mercy. It'll be yours. And of course, there's no other way to be saved unless you're willing for the plow, unless you're willing for the roots of sin to be broken up and that fallow ground to be disturbed. You can't be saved. Do not deceive yourself that you can live for the world, sow wickedness, and the tares of a wicked, sinful life, and then claim to be a child of God with God's blessing. Our Lord died on the cruel cross for sinners just like you. His blood is the very plow that will break up your heart. What you need is the cross of Calvary right through your heart to break up your fallow ground. That's the instrument of cultivation. That's the power that God uses to give you a new heart. And our Lord suffered there to purchase mercy for you. But today, if you say no, you're but trampling underfoot the very blood that was shed for your salvation and that will bring you the mercy of God. And then there's another thought. You may be running out of time. You may be running out of time physically. You may be running out of time because you don't know the day or the hour of your death. You may be running out of time because life is so uncertain and judgment is so sure. I want to close with this one text from Hebrews. It is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. You're appointed to die. God has a time for you to die. And after your death, there is a certain judgment. Some may debate about the timing of that judgment, but the reality of the judgment is certain. Are you ready? Are you saved? Are you sowing to righteousness that you may reap mercy? Is your life being changed by the power of the gospel? Can you truly say that the Lord has come and broken up your fallow ground? And where once you were prayerless, now you love to pray. Where once you hated the Bible, now you love God's Word, and you can say with the psalmist, "Oh, how love I thy law." Where once you loved the children of the world, the children of darkness, that now you love the children of light, the children of God. Can you say that once this tongue was filled with blasphemies and curses against the Lord has now given me a desire to be a witness for Him? Oh, that's the change. That's the plowing work and the saving work of the gospel in your heart. Are you saved today? And are you going on with God? And then comes the great promise. Until He rain righteousness upon you. This text has often been used in preparing for revival. It's often been a text that has been preached at ministers' days of prayer when men of God have been pleading with God for an outpouring of His Spirit upon His church. And if you're willing for the plow, you'll have the work of the Spirit. Oh, believer, let us each one get serious with God today. And let us seek the Lord until He come and rain righteousness upon us. And if you're not saved, pray today that the Lord will come and save your soul and bring you to Christ. And if I can help you, I certainly will. Just stay in your seat. Talk to me after the meeting. We'd love to share with you the way of God's salvation.